and hold the guest. Welcome to Empowering Hour with Empath. I'm your host, Yvonne Perry, a metaphysical author, coach, and light language activator offering assistance to those who are on a path to ascension and going through significant spiritual changes. I've authored several books, including Whose Stuff Is This?, Finding Freedom from the Thoughts, Feeling, and Energy Around You, and Walk-Ins Among Us. My latest book is Light Language Emerging, Activating Ascension Codes to Integrate Body, Soul, and Spirit. You'll find my books and information about my coaching, learn about galactic light language readings and other spiritual services at weareoneinspirit.com. You'll have a chance to ask your questions and give input during this call. If you're connected via telephone, press star 2, that's asterisk 2, to raise your hand, and we will call on you to speak. If you're connected to the session via the Internet, type your question in the box that you see on your screen. And we already have a question coming in, so that's awesome. Well, my co-host today is the newly married Veronica O'Grady. She's a natural-born visionary healer. That was a beautiful wedding, too, by the way. I loved it.
Yeah, it was magical.
It was. Well, what else could we expect from someone so magical herself, so beautiful? Well, aww. Veronica works with clients all over the planet doing remote healing and coaching sessions. She's a powerful guide of light on this magical journey. You can find Veronica at quantumalchemyhealing.com. Well, Veronica, congratulations on being a newly married woman.
Thank you. It's so exciting and so much fun.
Thank you, Yvonne.
It is a lot of fun. There's a beautiful wedding by the water, and just the energy was just incredible. And I guess you're still carrying that vibration, because as soon as we connected with one another today, it's like, whoa.
I've
just had a piece of chocolate, and I said, well, it shouldn't be the chocolate, because it doesn't work that fast.
Yeah.
No, but thank you.
It's really good right now.
Yeah, I know, though. I can't get enough. It's very grounding. And so with all this energy, I'm feeling like, woo, I've lit the mudwort and that Vic gave me, and she didn't warn me that it was going to smell like pot. So
the what?
Oh, the blood
smells like pot. Yeah.
Mugwort, yeah, kind of a stinky smell, but
okay,
yeah, but we're not gonna have any bugs in the room, so there you go.
Yeah.
Well, let's get started. We've got a lot of questions already coming in. We've got someone from New York who has their hand raised. Veronica, do you want to start with that one, or do you want to go with the weakest link? What are you feeling?
I feel like to start with something. It's funny because Ed and I are both from New York, so. Of course, my curiosity is raised a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go with New York.
All right.
Let's go with New York, and then we'll go to Peter, who has a question on the webcast. All right. New York, you're on.
Hi. Okay. My name is Jasmine, and I'm from India, not New York.
Okay.
Tell
folks about New York on the dashboard.
Okay. Yeah, my family, you know, I'm an Indian girl. Like, I'm Hindu and Indian and, you know, born and raised in Liberia, in Monrovia, in West Africa. And I'm here to study at NYU, and I was so excited to find your website, and thank you so much for putting all this information online. It helps. It's like, you know, helping Indians and Hindus, you know, where the knowledge originally came from. It's really helping me so much. Thank you.
Oh, wow. Thank you for being on the call today. That's a blessing to hear your voice and your enthusiasm today. What is your question?
So my question to you is, how do we get more grounded? Because I feel like, you know, like, I live in Oman, which is, like, near the water, and I feel, like, super grounded. But as soon as I came to New York, I feel like the city has so much, like, negative energy. Mm-hmm. And I'm not doing this, like, because I want to do it. It's just, like, an automatic thing. It's, like, I'm just absorbing this negative energy, and I'm getting, like, constant panic attacks and anxiety attacks. And I'm getting crystals, and they're breaking, and, you know, I don't know what to do.
Wow, powerful transmuter, even though crystals are breaking. Wow, that's amazing. I've never heard of that happening.
Whew.
Well, you're definitely transmuting detrimental energy. You're picking up on that, and it's hitting your field. Veronica has some beautiful exercises that she does and that she can share with you about how to protect that field and make it a little stronger. You said you live near the water, and that's always a very good grounding place. maybe some things that you could take in your pocket with you that won't break. Maybe some rose quartz. I know that's still kind of related to the crystals, so you may have some shambles in your pocket. But rose quartz is really good for transmuting emotional energy, and it sounds like there's a lot of that going on in New York right now with the shifting that's still occurring everywhere, but especially in big cities where you have a heavy population. Veronica, why don't you share a little bit about some of the grounding and centering exercises and protective bubble strengthening exercises that you do?
Jasmine, one thing to know is that New York is considered, or it used to be, I'm pretty sure it still is, considered the heart chakra of the United States. And being from there, and if you're in, are you in New York City?
Yes, right now I am in New York City, and my family is away, and I'm here by myself, and I'm, like, trying to, like, explain, like, the situation that I'm going through to doctors at NYU, and these are, like, the smartest people in New York City, you know, all the resident doctors at NYU, and they, nobody can help me, you know, and everyone's, like...
They are AMA trained, American Medical Association trained. They're not trained in how to deal with energetics and subtle energies, either of the planet or of people. So just because they don't have the answers doesn't mean something's going on. So just to know that up front, they have no education at all in any of this kind of work. You know, they have their education. They may be smart in some areas, in their certain areas that they've been working on, but there's more to life that they may not know about. Some do, but most don't. One of the things that Yvonne was talking about, when those of us who are sensitive to energies around us, and certainly being in New York, one of the first things you know when you step foot in New York, whether you drive or land there, is that the vibration escalates like a thousandfold. It feels as if the ground is vibrating so much faster. And in turn, you vibrate because we have physical bodies that are affected by the land. So just know that that's part of what's going on. The shadow side of that, or the flip side of that, is when people are in their heart, it can amplify their fears as well, the fears of the heart. So, you know, it's a little bit of a dance when people move to New York, like Nashville is the throat chakra, and people go through communication issues when they move here. When they go to New York, often there's heart issues, you know, what are your dreams, what are your fears, things like that, that surface. And one of the techniques that we've shared many times, and I teach them RX for Empaths class and some of the classes, is the bubble. And it's intentionally airy-fairy. You know, it sounds like, oh, bubbles, you know, and it is actually very high technology. And it uses your imagination. If you imagine a bubble around you, you know about your aura, you know, the energy field outside of your body?
Yeah. The planet.
Hmm?
The prana? The prana?
Well, your prana is your life force. Your aura is the physical extension of that into your field beyond your body.
Okay.
Outside of your aura, if you imagine a bubble, literally a bubble, you know, if you blow bubbles and you see this bubble, inside the bubble is one kind of environment. Outside the bubble is another kind of environment, right?
Right.
Now, the actual bubble itself, what creates the difference between the outside and the inside is the edge of the bubble. And one of the teachings that came to me a long time ago that's helped a lot of people who are being affected by their environment, it could be in a family, it could be on a land, wherever you are, is imagine a bubble, you levitating, standing in the middle of a bubble. And it goes down below your feet, so it goes down below the floor where you are, back behind you, up above you, outside to the sides, out in front of you. And that edge of that bubble, you can imagine it to have any kind of energy that you want it to have. So if you're in a place where there are a lot of clingy people and needy people, you can put oil on the outside of your bubble. Just with your imagination creates the vibration of oil. And if we had machines sensitive enough to measure it, it would show that that's the vibration of oil.
Okay.
Or one of the other things that I share with people is like glitter, you know, particleized titanium. So it's like a little layer of glitter where only what you consciously choose to invite into your world, into your space, into your life is allowed in. It finds its way in. Anything else is not allowed into your bubble.
Okay, but how do I get more grounded, like in my feet? Because I want to help everyone. Like, I meet homeless people, and I want to help them. I meet everyone, and then I start getting these panic attacks. So I want to be like grounded and not like, so I shouldn't help people, or like I shouldn't talk to strangers, or like how do I go about living here?
Okay, one of the things, again, going back to the bubble, and then I'll tell you, share with you another tool. First, while you're seeing you in your bubble, see everybody else in their bubble, everybody that you see, the thousands and thousands of people that you walk down the street with, everybody's in their own bubble. Everyone has their own frequency, like their own signature sound.
Mm-hmm.
You know how we all have our own energy, and it's unlike anyone else on the planet. We all have our own unique individual vibration that we carry as a soul in the human body. Everybody on the planet has that. So if you see them all in their bubble with their own unique vibration that is different than yours, it helps, first of all, it helps keep the boundaries more clear. Okay? Where you stay in your bubble and you speak to them from the center of your bubble to them in their center of their bubble. Okay.
Okay, that's a great idea.
Now that's just one idea. The other part is trust your body. Listen to your physical body. If you get a funny feeling or something that's not okay, listen to your body. Your body has an intelligence about it. Trust your instincts, of course. You're in New York City. Trust your instincts. Okay? The other thing is honor what you see in that person on the first hit, whether you can trust them or not, whether they're telling you the truth or not, use your discernment, which is different than judgment. You discern whether it's okay to interact with somebody.
Yeah, but I
by listening to your body and trusting what you're feeling right from the get-go.
Yeah, but I get such an empathic overload. Like there is no like listening to, like there is like I'm not trained enough to like block off the voices, and like just I'm like that person immediately, and I'm like I'm suffering. I need to get a house. I'm homeless, you know, and it's really painful. But I'm going to try the bubble technique. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. And when you see people who are homeless, there's a level of trusting in their path as well. Every one of us is connected to creation, to the creator, however you call that energy. Every one of us is connected and has a divine life path, even though it looks painful and even when people die. There's a soul path that when they have these lessons, we've all had lifetimes of being homeless or being starving or being tortured, all those horrible things. And one of the things that Yvonne and I talk about a lot is just because you can do something to help doesn't always mean it's your job to. So checking in and asking your inner guidance, is this for me to do? And if you get a no, honor it. Have the courage and the strength to honor what you know is right for you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get the hit or the intuition to stay away from something, don't feel obligated. It's not your job. You take care of you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and how do I visualize the bubble? It starts from the feet, so it starts below my feet. It goes all the way on the back and then comes in the front, and it ends in the heart, or it ends back at the feet?
The bubble, just if you draw a circle and draw a stick figure right in the middle of the circle that's levitating right in the middle of the circle,
mm-hmm.
the bubble goes down below your feet. And as you see the bubble, because right now your energy is up above your knees. So if you see the bubble going all the way down about a foot below your feet,
mm-hmm.
imagine the bubble going down from your knees all the way down to below your feet. It'll help ground you by doing that one thing alone. Imagine the bubble going down under your feet. And then feel, this is silly, this may sound silly, but feel your butt cheeks, the cheeks on your bottom. bring your consciousness there, and the soles of your feet will help bring your energy down back into your body to ground you better. And I'm really getting that if you carry something that has metal in a pocket, if crystals are breaking, some kind of metal, whether it's copper or brass or something like that, or whether it could be a necklace that you wear or a bracelet that you touch, that helps you mm-hmm. ground. The energy of the metal will help you there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you so much. Thanks a million.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Keep paying attention, and there's a lot of magic there to be had. It's a beautiful
mm-hmm.
place.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jasmine. Thank you, Veronica. Another thing I'm feeling led that we should possibly teach at this point is I'm feeling people who have auras that are way, way, way out there. Typical empath thing where our 18 inches is more like 18 feet or 18 blocks. And I want us to do this exercise where we just kind of feel where is your aura. Now, if you're at home, your aura may be extended out from your body just a little bit bigger, your bubble's a little bit bigger. But if you are out in public, you want to draw that back in. So just visualize or intend that your bubble, your aura, your personal energy, electromagnetic field is coming in, drawing in. And as it draws in, it's being cleared. It's being cleared. We've got some sage coming, burning here in the broadcast room. So we're sending that energy out to clear the field and to bring your aura in. And as you bring it in and it's being cleared, see the edges of it with, like Veronica said, oil. You could put fire on the outside if you feel like you need to burn away something that's detrimental or to release something from in your transmutation process. Also, I'm feeling like we need to do just a little bit of a light language session to help clear everyone's field. And when we do this, the energy is probably going to raise dramatically, so hold tight.
Me! Okay, so just deep breath in.
Centering, sending your personal energy, beautiful clear light into the earth to help ground and hold you there, to help center you, to strengthen you. And then we're going to clear the auric field. As we brought it in closer now, let's just clear it a little more.
And the Eloro Motai, Shikurmo Uat, Alamoko, Shikuala Motosi, Kumbalumba, Kiromokochi, Kirumba, Sikumbolo Quata, Shikundoro Maka, Jijimoa, Tokumurota, Shikuata, Ai Shamoa.
A deep breath, and let's do the, I'm hearing to do a reset breath. Whenever your mind is stuck in a mode where it keeps recycling and relooping the same thoughts over and over again, something is stuck in your limbic system of your brain. That's not where it belongs. That's not where we process information such as emotional energy. We need that to move forward into the frontal cortex of the brain. So let's, on the count of five, whatever you're doing, whether you're breathing in or breathing out, doesn't matter. We're going to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and then immediately exhale. And then breathe in through the nose. Exhale through the mouth and breathe in through the nose. So whatever thought it is that's stuck on loop, let's do it now. Let's clear it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Exhale through the mouth. Inhale through the nose. Do it one more time. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Exhale mouth. Inhale nose. Okay, whoa, something shifted. Okay, back to our questions. We have Peter on the webcast, and he is saying he's got a little bit about the twin flame and the walk-in. Whew, if I can even read this. Goodness gracious, you people are powerful. Okay, he found his twin flame living in another country. Kind of met here on the web by divine synchronicity. So he's wondering, now that he's found this connection, should he mention anything to her about the walk-in situation? He's afraid this might frighten her. Veronica, do you want to speak to that, or do you want me to go with it, or how you want to address it?
Well, it depends on her education level with that, you know, of course. If it was me, I would just wait a little bit to feel it out. What I do when I'm not sure about something, I ask for the opening to show itself. To present something, to talk about something with somebody, I ask for the opening to show itself in a divine and gentle way. And then I wait for that opening. It's like, it's not stillness, it's truly divine waiting. it's a mm-hmm. pause of very active and discerning and waiting for the door to open or the window to open in the moment to happen. So if that was me, Peter, I would wait. I would ask and have my radio, the heart radio, tuned to, I want to share this with this special person, with this wonderful twin flame. But there's levels of awakening and levels of awareness, even with twin flames. Sometimes there's parts of us that are asleep with each other, you know, in our reality, our understanding about life. So asking creation, asking life for the moment to present itself, to discuss something, you know, like that or about that directly, will often bring, again, it's resonance. You tune your heart radio to what it is that you want to create and ask creation and life to show it to you in the divine, most perfect, highest vibrational time, and it does. And our job is to wait for that moment and then have the courage, that's the other part, to speak when it's time. You know, so you may want to start practicing what you want to say, what you think, you know, your partner will feel comfortable with hearing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. Definitely tune in. You can tune in to a situation and know when somebody is ready, knowing when somebody is telling you the truth, when they're not telling you the truth. As far as a walk-in, it's probably better just to maybe approach it from an educational standpoint, just saying, hey, I found some information on the Internet that intrigued me, and I wanted to share it with you and get your feel on it. And just see, you know, go from that point, not going and saying, hey, I think you're a walk-in. That might scare her. But instead just saying, here's something I found interesting. Would you be willing to look at this information and offer me some feedback on it? And then you get a feel for where she's at and for her readiness.
Mm-hmm.
All right, other questions? You can raise your hand with star 2 if you're on the phone, or you can type in your question if you're on the webcast. Well, I've got something here. What is your weakest link? This is the place where you're still wounded, holding residual energy, or you have an inner target for backlash. This is especially for healers or those who do some type of energy work where you're picking up stuff that causes you to suffer when you outwardly encounter detrimental energy, such as when you're clearing a field for somebody or if you're removing an entity from someone's field or an attachment or what have you. These are usually places where we ourselves have been wounded and the situation is still not resolved. It still needs a little more work, a little more attention, a little more inner child work around it, because probably I'd say about 95% of our relationship issues stem from some relationship we had when we were children, something that didn't go right, something that we learned that from a role model that really just wasn't in our highest and best. So what is your weakest link? That would be a good question. If you know or feel like what is it, a part of your body, an emotion or whatever, a thought that keeps coming back to you where you feel like there may be something that needs a little more work? Anybody? What about you, Veronica? Do you know of any place, or maybe you have an example that you can give with someone that you work with?
How many?
How many? Yes.
You know, and it's on which level? You know, physically, I've had neck issues, and again, when I was saying to Jasmine that Nashville is the throat chakra, I got here and fractured my neck. So, you know, it's like where the energy and the wounding has been built up. It's about speaking. Many times empaths are told that they're weird, they're too sensitive, so they shut up. Literally, they shut their mouths and stop
talking. Right.
So, you know, so we have the outer world and the inner world, and I think at some point, as many of us go along, and certainly with awareness growing, there's a space now where we can truly be fully authentically who we are. So that's the link, is showing your authentic face, like in the shamanic voice. There's, you know, knowing your true self, speaking your truth, say what you need to say at every moment. And So I think that's, you know, physically that's been a big issue of learning for me personally to speak what I see, what I know, what I feel in ways that strengthen me, not like a puffy peacock thing, but that are just real and true for me, where I don't have to filter out my words all the time to make other mm-hmm. people comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That was, you know, I'm not going to stay quiet so that you'll feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. But I will. I also won't challenge and confront in a way that's icky either. But just giving ourselves the space to authentically be who we are, wherever we are, wisely, you know. But that's one of the things that I find that still comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also become a gift. My challenge of speaking up and saying what I see has been transformed along the way as I've been more comfortable with it, with people coming to me and saying, well, what do you get on this? What's your insight? And it's very helpful and accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, the flip side of what's our challenge, you know, our gift is we learn to master it, is in there too, I think, in a lot of cases.
Right. And you can also look at targets on your body. Mine has been my abdomen, my gut. I've lost a gallbladder. I've had a colon resection. I've had urinary tract infections, all of it in the lower half of the body. So here we have the emotional center, the center where we stuff energy. Those who have been sexually abused will have issues with the reproductive organs or with the bladder. A lot of UTIs or urinary tract infections. These are your body talking to you. These are places where your body is trying to say, I need you to heal or clear the emotional energy around this center.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was stuffing things. It kind of goes a little bit that throat chakra that Veronica's talking about, not speaking up for yourself. But it was stuffing things because I felt like I didn't have a voice or a right to say anything. I didn't want to cause trouble. I was raised in a home where there was a lot of fussing and a lot of discord and hurtful words thrown at one another like weapons. And so I didn't want to rock the boat and make anything worse. So many times when I wanted to speak up, I would stuff my feelings. When I wanted to say something, I wouldn't say it. So that ended up in my gut. So, therefore, a target. I feel like I've cleared that now, but just recently, and this hasn't happened in a long time, I was doing some shamanic work and some soul retrieval work for a client, went into the underworld and got hit in the back, and I felt it. And I for almost, a week and a half, maybe just a week, but it started really starting to get better, I felt like a stabbing pain, like I had been actually hit in the back with an arrow in two places, not came up within just 2 hours after the session. And I'm like, what is this? Okay, body, you're telling me something. And I'm doing a meditation with my guides and talking to my body. What is this? And they said, this is your weakest link. You're looking back. You keep looking back at what used to be. Look for now, not even in the future, but look right now. What gifts do you have right now? What is it right now? Don't look back at relationships you've had and wish that those were with you again, if friends have left, or maybe a ministry for a long time. I know I grieved the ministry that I had because for 10 years I became a hermit and did not minister to anyone. I just stayed at home and you know, wrote books and edited books. So me coming back out into the forefront like this, you know, we need to make sure that we have cleared up everything that we possibly can. So this required a little more grieving process for a relationship that I was still trying to go back to. And it's like, okay, it's time to let that go completely. Don't try to go back to it and recreate what you had. And just let go and do a little more inner child work, talking to that part of me that really felt like it needed that nurturing that was provided in that relationship, and call upon my higher self to do that nurturing for the inner child rather than seeking for that nurturing outside of myself. So that was my weakest link. Others? Other people have a weakest link you want to share?
Let's check the Q&A here. Ah, Bethany. Okay.
Recently discovered that she's an empath after years of letting others affect me. I now have to learn how to not let them affect me. I do usually recognize this, but usually after I'm already affected, usually coming out as aggravation, not knowing what to do with the extra energy. I do know that there are certain people that affect me more than others. Besides just staying away from them, which is not always possible, how is the best way to handle these people or situation? Veronica, you want to toss that one around? Are we still here? Hello?
Oh my goodness, I had that. Yeah, I must have hit you along the way. I'm so sorry.
Oh, well, that was your weakest link.
Oh, goodness, you know, technology.
Technology, we weakest link.
Yeah,
there we go.
I love you, girl.
Oh, girl. Oh, we are user issues. That is the person running the technology. That is the issue. Anyway, I was laughing, and I guess you didn't hear, obviously. Going back to the bubble, and really, when you're around other people, I'm from a huge family, and when it's kind of like the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, where they're all in each other's space and all in each other's spaces, and you know all that. How do you maintain energetic integrity? And when you're in with a lot of people, what I was saying before to Jasmine is the energy, the more you work your bubble and imagine yourself in a very healthy bubble, you can make it bigger or smaller. You can put invisibility around it if you want to not be seen. Don't do it while driving. You can add extra light if you're going to be doing a presentation and you want to have people front and center, you know, see what you're saying and give their attention to you. So you can light up your bubble. You can imagine rainbows in your bubble of water. Anything that gives you soothing and grounding and balancing energy. I've done like crystalline silt, like a very fine crystal powder. Only a layer of it is all it needs. And again, all of this is imagination, but imagination actually creates a true, literal reality. So that I've shared the example before about our house and the tornadoes that went through where we used to live. My house was the only house in that path that was not damaged. And the joke of the neighborhood was, I guess your bubble's still up, Veronica, because your house was the only one that wasn't touched. And my sister's house in New Jersey during the hurricanes, when I bubbled her house, again, imagining a bubble going down below, you know, where all the piping and plumbing is and all the electric lines, all that, and all around the house and back and front, all around it. And the house is literally sitting in a happy space in the middle of the bubble levitating. That's how I imagined it. And I saw it completely protected regardless of what was going around it. And their house was the only one standing. All around them, the houses were flattened in the hurricane. I didn't realize they had a garage, so they had some flooding in the garage. But it literally, that was huge. It's actually a literal creation. When we bubble up ourselves, it's not like an airy-fairy, flaky thing at all. It's actual technology. And again, if we had the instruments to measure it, it would be picked up that our field around is, like now they're getting into with William Tiller and all of the quantum physics and the quantum science that goes around consciousness. He's proving that only with our intent, nothing else, we can change the pH of something if we focus on it long enough. Only with our intent, we can change the environment of any room that we're in. And with our intent, if we imagine ourselves inside of our bubble and everybody else inside their own, you know, it's like the Jetsons little space bubble, but it covers, it's all around their whole body. And we do that every day. The boundaries become easier to maintain. The icky energy or the imbalanced energy or the like needy kind of grippy kind of energy of other people or even really just downright unkind energy or mean energy doesn't affect us as much when we see them in the center of their bubble, us in the center of our bubble. And when we're interacting, say at work or with family or any other obligations that we're in, we hold ourselves with integrity in the center of our bubble, knowing we're protected. Again, the more you practice it when you don't need it, it shows up when you actually use it. Like it's, it mostly, it usually surprises people. when it actually works. And they have the experience of it affecting what used to be has changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true, Veronica. It's like if you never use a muscle and then you need to run, you're probably not going to get very far down the street before you're out of breath and your knees are shaking, you know, your legs are shaking.
Yeah.
So it's that same thing where you're grounding and you're centering and you're keeping that field clear and you're doing everything that you need to do in your alone time so that you are taking care of those weakest links, you know, doing your inner child work or whatever you need to do so that you don't have these vulnerable spots. They're like holes in your bubble. So you want to make sure that you close those up by doing your personal work. I cannot overemphasize how important it is to do your own healing work on your own self in order to allow. So you have this light within you, in your core, in the like in the solar plexus, that can radiate out like a sun or like a light with rays and beams coming out of you, so that you're actually sending out so much energy that you are transmuting without having to feel anything that's coming from the outside in. We've been doing this all backwards. We've been living from the outside in, and it's time for us to start living from the inside out, to really be strong in ourselves, in our core, in our healing work, in what we're doing for ourselves. And then when we are filled enough and we go out into public, you don't have nearly the same problems that you had before. Now, there are times when energy is very, very strong, even when it's good energy, and it becomes overwhelming. This is something that I still deal with, even after all these years, like at Veronica's wedding day. The energy was extremely high. It was good energy. It was wonderful, but I kept having to go back down the hill to the water and just kind of do some light language and sit in the grass to ground myself, because I wanted to be out there flying around in the ethers. So, you know, we still have to do our exercises and keep our spiritual muscles strong.
Mhm. Yeah, and like you were saying, the light can be overwhelming. That's one of the things that Ed and I were talking about. Was I literally, as we're getting ready to begin the wedding, I'm coming down the grass, coming into the aisle, and the bubble, everybody there was conscious. Just about everybody there was an empath and knew it. Mm-hmm. And so these people have been doing this work for years and years and years. And you talk about a gathering of light workers. I was on the golf cart being brought in, which was so much fun. And the bubble and the music was so pronounced that as I started walking towards everybody, I literally was overcome. And I'm pretty strong and aware and ready. I was totally overcome by the wave of love being beamed. It was all focused. You know, right then everyone turned around and I was like, whoosh. So I wasn't expecting that at all. And I literally, my knees buckled and I went down. I didn't fall over, but I went down for a moment. And it took a second to regather myself, my energy. I was stunned by the beauty and the profound love that I was feeling from everybody. And, you know, so we have to ground ourselves in the best times, too. Like when people go to events and they meet maybe their favorite stars or things like that, it can happen. How altered people feel, you know, when they're in that kind of vibration. Mm-hmm. It's a higher vibration often. And you know, doing this bubble work before helps you stay more grounded. Seeing everybody in their own bubble helps all it. Bubbles, boundaries, and bridges is what the name of that part of the classes are. It's from the healthy bubbles and the healthy boundaries, we make more authentic, whole bridges, you know, wholesome bridges. And we connect with each other better that way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And the more we're able to tap in and really settle things that are in the shadow side, I know we talked a little bit about the underworld, that's the place where our unresolved issues lie, where it's also known to be where Inanna went to for 3 days, I believe it was, and Jesus has spoken in the Bible about going into the earth for 3 days. This mm-hmm. is where we go into our shadow work to view and ponder all those things that society has said is not acceptable, that they will not tolerate. Sometimes that can just be something as simple as a lifestyle, which if you really back up from it and you go, there's no right or wrong here, there's just this judgment. And so you look at your own judgment when you go in the shadow side or in the underworld, and you look at why do I see this as an evil or a wrong thing. And as soon as you do that, and you do the child work or the healing work around that, then you raise that particular part of that aspect out of the underworld, out of the shadow side, and you remind it that it is light, and it turns into light. It's an amazing thing to watch this happen. I've been working on with some painting this week that's nothing like anything that I've ever done before. But the depiction is of Durga, and Durga is the Hindu goddess that has abolished evil. But I'm learning a different way to work with what is termed evil, and rather than being, one, afraid of it, two, resisting it or trying to fight it, instead, mm-hmm. I am standing centered in love and saying, I see your darkness. I'll raise you my light. And it's like there is no confrontation. We're just going to play this game together. And, you know, I see that even in this hit that I got in the back when I was in the underworld with a client, we did a beautiful soul retrieval. And even while I was asking all those questions, like, what's going on, body? What's going on, spirit guides? Come on, tell me. They were showing me that we were clearing that aspect, and once we cleared that piece of her soul that fragmented during a traumatic season during her childhood, and we brought that out of the underworld, then all these other uglies, I don't know what you call them, entities or whatever, were speaking to me, and I could hear them, and I realized, you don't have a job to do anymore. Oh, my gosh, you were holding that soul fragment, a captive in the underworld, and I have just rescued that, and you don't know what to do with yourself. Bless your heart. It's like, you get to go home, too. You don't have to stay here because your work is done. And so I released them. And then the ones that were holding them came forward and go, well, we don't have a job here either. I'm like, well, go home. Everybody that was involved in holding that in her ancestral line of the abuse was in the family line, in the male side. And so we released all of them and all the ancestors and all the people that were involved in that abusive energy and let them all go home. Let them all go to the light.
Yep. I love that.
That is the beautiful part of the shadow side, where you no longer fear it. You just see it as it is what it is. It's part of me. It's part of you. It's part of creation. It's part of God or Goddess. And there is no need to abolish it. It's part of what drives our ego, because we've been misprogrammed to believe that we're separate from one another or separate from God, or to believe that we are something other than divine. Even though we're in this human form, we're still divine. And when you can approach it, the shadow side like that, you actually elevate it to where it is serving the light. Do you see how even though these entities were attacking me, they were actually doing the work of the light? One, they revealed to me my weakest link. And two, we released a lot of captives, not just the one I went in for.
Yep, that's a biggie. And most of, like, what's the essence that we're all made of is this light. And there was a quote someone said, fear is a child of love. And darkness mm-hmm. is the light, you know, that has forgotten itself and is remembering.
Mm-hmm.
And so often in the healing work, the ickies, you know, I just call ICK the ickies, on so many levels that have, sometimes they go back through the lineage with curse energy, sometimes it's soul mm-hmm. lineage or mm-hmm. family lineage. And as this balance, it's just the music that's discordant that wants to be balanced. And it sounds like you've experienced that, Yvonne, where it's like you can actually hear sometimes the energy saying, thank you, and they're going mm-hmm. back home to the light. It's like mm-hmm. they want to go home too.
They do. They do.
The energy wants its own essence. That's, we all want our own wholeness. And all the behaviors, the discordant behaviors and imbalanced behaviors that many people adapt and adopt are to try to balance ourselves. And some, you know, if you don't know what you're doing, it's kind of like just mulling through a jungle to try to get somewhere. But the whole idea, the motivation, is wholeness and home and harmony and balance and feeling love and loving and all that stuff again. And sometimes and the energies just need assistance to get from that discordant space back to wholeness, whether it's an entity that's attached or whether it's someone's psychology, you know, that they just want to rebalance. It's the greatest joy to know that the essence of light is in everything and everyone. But to, like with Jasmine also earlier, discern. You know, just because everyone has the potential essence of pure light in them doesn't mean that that's the cards that they're playing. Everyone gets dealt the cards of pure light and pure love, but the way they play their hand in life with other people, you know, there's discernment as well, and walking wisely as we're working with these challenges with people. And, yeah, but the soul retrieval work is so powerful. It's also the lower world is also where often where our gifts are stored.
And oh, tell us more about that. I love that.
Yeah. When I was a little girl, I had a dream vision or an experience, I guess would be the better way to say it, was that I went into the lower world. I found myself in the lower world, and I knew exactly what it was when I was in it, and I was probably maybe about 12 or 13. So in the shamanic training, when it first came up that we were going to go to the lower world, I was like, no way. I have a lot of courage, but it was so, the energy, it was like a reverse magnetism in a way in that space, and you have to know what you're doing before you choose to go in there and always have a guardian with you. But as I matured and got better at the processes and understood more of the terrain, one of the things that started showing itself were dragons, of all things, out of the lower world after getting all the fragments of the person's energy, like a big Santa Claus bag going into the universe. Anything that belonged to that person that was ready to come through, I would bring through, and it would be cleansed and purified before being reconnected with the person so they'd get the wisdom without the scars. And then would come a dragon coming out of the lower world on its own. Once all the other stuff was handled, and it would give itself over to this huge fire, which is where a lot of the cleansing would happen. And as it gave itself over to the fire, it released the gift of that soul that it's been holding for who knows how long, millennium even. And as that energy was cleansed and purified, it was able to rise up above the fire and be reunited with that person's soul. So sometimes in the lower world, again, it's understanding the terrain of the more subtle levels of energy that we interact with every day, the more you understand it, then there's no fear. There's only checking in, aligning, checking your energy, make sure your bubble's intact, you know, things like that. Once you have the tools, it gets much more easier to navigate. But I find it phenomenal that so many of the things that we're afraid of, our challenges, often hold our most sacred, powerful gifts, too.
So true. That is so true. When I had the head injury last October, as I was laying there in the bed, I had whiplash so bad and headaches and light and sound sensitivity. I stayed in a dark room in bed most of the day. I received downloads and so many gifts and activations, just incredible things. My light language reemerged. So many things opened up as I worked with my shadow side in that. I learned how not to resist it. And by the time I finally got to where I could be up and about again, I'm like, oh, I kind of missed like laying around today. Because I had found solace even in that hardship, even in that place of where I wanted to resist at first. It's like, I want to be up. I'm going to keep going. I don't want to be down. I don't want to lay down in bed. I'm a go, 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 do, do, do kind of person. And I learned just to be. That was a gift, but it came through hardship.
Yep.
We got about, go ahead, Veronica, I'm sorry.
Oh, it's just interesting what triggers what for us. Like, you know, it's that plot twist. Aaron Fraser, dear friend, often joked in some of the classes that we did a long time ago, she would just yell out with her hand up and say, plot twist. And like with a wedding, you know, to have the venue change a few days before the actual wedding and be, you know, almost an hour further away from everybody. It's there was a gift in that, and sometimes writing it, even when our minds can't make sense of it, but some part of us knows it's right.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important for people who are empathic or intuitive, however you want to, you know, define that, to listen. You know, to mm-hmm. like we knew that this was the place, but we knew the logistics were pretty phenomenal to get it all to happen, and you know, just riding the energy, staying in our center. The world is changing, and our bodies have a consciousness and an intelligence that our mind does not have. So the more as we go through, even in the next month, this is September, so between now and October and November, the more we listen to our bodies, and again, like grounding, different ways of grounding, the more we listen to that, the more aligned we will be, like the path will unfold that is true for us, that's best for us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You know,
things get easier.
Pardon?
Yeah. Things get easier.
Yeah, they
just drop into place with less effort.
Yeah, out of chaos emerges harmony. Emerges the magic. Sometimes that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, we've got, I think it's Jasmine has another question, so let's see what she's got for us. Jasmine, you're on.
Yeah, hi. Thank you so much for the incredibly beautiful conversation and lesson. I think it was amazing. It was like the best thing that happened to me so far in New York. Thank you. And you mentioned sage earlier. There's a store in New York. It's called Namaste, and they sell the sage. And another healer at the yoga studio told me to use sage, and you mentioned it earlier. But the thing is, when I wear sage, I feel like my hands and my feet are numb. I have anesthesia. I can't feel the wind.
Wow.
I can't see people. I feel like sage is like it cuts me off from my experiences in this beautiful city. I mean, it's hard, but it's really beautiful for, like, you know, I can live and feel like the city, and I feel like sage disconnects me.
Mm. Wow. Well, try something else. There are plenty of other herbs. You can use Palo Santo. Which is a holy wood from, I believe it's from South America. It's a beautiful, beautiful smell. I'm burning mugwort, lavender, juniper, and rosemary along with the sage that I have going right now. So there are lots of different cleansing, clearing herbs that you can use.
Okay,
and you don't even have to light
down.
Them.
You said mugwort, lavender?
Uh-huh. Yeah, mugwort I think is also called Artemis or something like that.
Okay, and then there's lavender, yeah. Juniper, and what else?
Mm-hmm. Cedar is a good one.
Yeah,
kind of evergreen.
Cedar is one that seems to be lighting up a lot for you. And cedar doesn't burn very much. It'll spark when you're burning it. You just get a branch from the cedar tree. If you have any around there, or sometimes they have cedar sage, you know, just a wand of cedar. And it can be prickly, so watch your hands. It can stick you. But if you burn it, it'll spark a little bit. And then you just walk around. Cedar is a very emotionally cleansing, purifying plant. It's a tree.
So how does it work? I'm, like, shocked. Like, I'm shocked that the smoke can actually, like, you know, ground me like that. I'm shocked. Is it because of the vibration of the plant?
Of the plant, yes.
Everything is music. Everything has a vibration. Everything, everyone, every animal, every plant. And if you think of it like a symphony and feel what worked with your symphony, your sound, sage may work for some people, cedar or rosemary may work for another, or tobacco, burning like organic tobacco, could also work. Any plant form that you feel called to, this is where you start learning your interaction with creation, is you can call to you. Like I was saying about Peter before, about calling for the opening of an opportunity to have a discussion, you can also call to you into creation, into the universe, life force, and say, show me the plant that would help me the most right now. Or it may be a stone, or it may be some music, you know, that will help you ground even better. So just be open to how things show up in your reality.
So I also want to mention I also wanted to mention that my family lives in Oman since the last 20 years, and it's the land of frankincense, and it's where legend has it that the three wise men went to baby Jesus with the frankincense, gold, and the myrrh. Mm-hmm. And so every single Omani, like there are about 3.5 million of us who live in Oman, and 2.5 million, I think, are Omanis. Every single Omani wears frankincense smoke every day.
Well, then that may be the thing for you to do.
Mm-hmm. It's from
bring
your
that dinner with you. Yeah, bring your home vibration, bring your, mm-hmm. your DNA, your genetic home vibration to where you are. Like I bring sage. Sage is a plant that works for me. I'll bring it to different countries, different places, because wherever I am, I can smell that and feel grounded. So whatever you're used to may be just the thing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome,
Judy. And I love working with rose anything, rose oil, rose incense. To me, that represents the Divine Mother. So whenever something needs softening, I will use rose. If things feel a little out of balance, then lavender is a real good balancing. Another one for clearing is rosemary. So maybe mm-hmm. a book on aromatherapy or herbs will help you to understand the properties that have been noted for each of these plants or for stones, same thing, and find what works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure.
And even
thank you so much.
Citrus smells, grapefruit, things like that can help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right. Well, we are at the top of the hour, so we appreciate everyone being on the call today for your participation and the questions that you've sent in. Remember, you can send your questions in ahead of time if you're at a workplace where you can't actually be on the phone, but you're just kind of listening and pretending. I have a job like that where as long as I was getting my work done, it was fine for me to listen in on things like that. So, but we couldn't actually participate. So send us your questions ahead of time, and we'll make sure we get to those.
Wonderful.
In closing, Veronica, any message in closing?
Oh, I just think it's really important right now with the energy changing to realize we are on a magnetic planet, electromagnetic planet. We do have electromagnetic bodies. To just really tune in and listen to our bodies every day, and even many times through the day, to just check in. There's a lot changing on the planet, which is affecting us. And the more we stay, we can even see the Earth in her bubble, and we're in our little bubbles, you know, playing upon the Earth. But the more we tune in and balance every day when we don't need to, like when we're brushing our teeth, when we're taking a shower, things like that, the more we do that, the better off we'll be as we navigate the next month or so.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Veronica. I really appreciate and love having you on these calls.
Aw, thank you, Yvonne, for inviting me. It's really a joy, total honor, and a total pleasure.
Well, you can reach me at We Are One in Spirit, and you can reach Veronica at QuantumAlchemyHealing.com. We both do coaching, so if you need some further assistance in one-on-one, we would be glad to help you in that regard. Until next month, which we normally meet on the second Tuesday at 2 o'clock, right here on this phone. So we will just be sending you blessings of light language, love, and goodwill as you become more empowered on your path as an empath.
Wonderful. Thank you, Yvonne, for doing this.
Thank you, sweetie.
Bye-bye.